Hello and welcome to this week's episode of our Facts First podcast. Now again, this is part of our special Bangsamoro series, which tackles different aspects of the new Bangsamoro Transition Authority, which is of course the interim government of the new Bangsamoro Autonomous Region in Muslim Mindanao. Now for this week, we're going to talk about the proposed extension of the BTA until 2025, and of course the proposed cancellation or resetting of the elections that are set in 2022. So for today, we are joined by the Executive Director of the Institute of Autonomy and Governance, a Cotabato-based think tank, Attorney Benny Bacani. Thank you for joining us on this podcast, sir.
It's a pleasure, Christian.
And also we're joined by Professor Francisco Pancho Lara, Senior Advisor of International Alert Philippines. He's also a professor at the University of the Philippines' College of Social Sciences. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Yes, thank you, Christian. Glad to see you.
Okay. I'd like to get a perspective coming from experts like you, those who are deeply involved in issues involving the Bangsamoro. So first, let's talk about the proposals on the table. We know that the MILF, as leaders of the BTA, has been trying to push for the resetting of the elections in the Bangsamoro Autonomous Region of Muslim Mindanao from 2022 to 2025. Because the argument is that they don't have enough time to actually implement what has been promised as part of the peace agreement with the Philippine government. Now, let's start with the current proposals or adjustments or compromise being proposed or laid on the table. Attorney Benny.
Thank you, Christian. So just to provide a context of the issue on the extension of the transition. So we have to understand that the bills pending in Congress are for the resetting of the or cancellation of the scheduled first regular elections. So the first regular elections would actually signal the establishment of the regular government, so which means that that is the end of the political transition and the start of the first regular government of the Bangsamoro Autonomous Region in Muslim Mindanao. Actually, there's this confusion on what we really want. So there, the BTA in the resolution that they passed, okay, called for the extension of the transition. So, and the resolution is actually silent on resetting the elections. But apparently, the general view is that once you extend the transition, then you also move the elections or cancel the elections because you are actually extending the term of the Bangsamoro Transition Authority. Okay, so if you extend the term of Bangsamoro Transition Authority, which is actually appointed, not elected, then in effect, you are actually moving the elections. Okay, and the proposal that the bills that are pending in Congress is resetting the elections to May 2025, so to synchronize with the national and local elections as well, but the main point there is, what are we really extending and why are we resetting the elections? So apparently that is the issue now, right? Because when you reset the elections, that's very political, that's very controversial. Now it looks like everybody agrees, we need more time, to set up the political institutions. Okay, but is that something that you can still do even under a regular government? Okay, there are those who say that yes, of course you can still do it because you cannot govern anyway unless you put up all these institutions. But the thing is, I think the issues are kind of have kind of muddled already. So there's a need. That's why IAG has been in the forefront in terms of what we're talking about, unpacking the issues of the Bangsamoro transition. So unpacking the issues, looking at interest, okay? Because people actually are kind of mixing up all these different issues, and even the issue of normalization versus the political trap. So as an update, so right now the bills are pending in the House and in the Senate, and of course the president has expressed his openness, and well, it depends whether that's really a support an absolute support that can really push this forward. But what we have now is some kind of a consensus building, because there are those who are opposed to the proposals, particularly local government leaders, no, of the provincial governors, no, so of the BARM, and that's why there is now a process of dialogue. In fact, the hearings in the Senate, okay, on the bill have been postponed twice already. I think to give way to this political dialogue. Mm. Okay, that is currently being undertaken, which for us is a step in the right direction, no? Because okay. If we're gonna move the elections, there are interests that will be there will be winners and losers in this. No? There are political interests that will be affected, and it would be good that there's some kind of a consensus moving forward. Okay, okay. For the Bangsamoro.
Okay, I remember Professor Lara wrote a very interesting opinion piece regarding this push to extend the BTA. Talk to us about the basic arguments there and whether the BTA should be extended or that we should indeed just push through with the elections next year.
Yeah, well, the title of that article was Democracy's U-Turn in the Bangsamoro. And simply because the same institutions that enabled the Bangsamoro, for example, to get set up and to enable the MILF and the current BTA to be put in office were undertaken through a democratic process, and that was the referendum. And they won the vote, and so you had the Bangsamoro Organic Law ratified. Lo and behold, 3 years later, they don't want the same process, you know, to decide the transition of the Bangsamoro. The issue that was put forward there is that, you know, a transition process will take actually longer than 3 years. We knew that from the start. They should have argued that. And if they were, you know, not supportive of that idea, they would have fought. They should have fought that the first 3 years be extended to 3 years. But that was not what they agreed to. They signed up to a law that said that's going to take 3 years. Now, let me be brutally honest. No, I think it's a ruse. I think it's a deliberate attempt to exclude others from the transition process. And why do I say that? Because if we agree to a postponement, the cancellation of the elections, we set a precedent that can be used again in 2025. The transition isn't over. We need to extend. And because of that, you know, you lose out on the entire process of people owning the leadership of the Bangsamoro. At the end of the day, the issue is really about political legitimacy. Legitimacy cannot be only earned through an election. Indeed, other Moro leaders establish their legitimacy through other means, by being a rebel leader, by being an alliance builder, etc. But it is central to the Bangsamoro process that the person in charge of this process is elected by the people. And really, Christian, I had argued in that piece, really, that they needed it more than anything else. No? And I even have a very strong view that they will win if they run that election. What concerns me is why they don't want to. And I agree with Benny. No? The transition is not equivalent to the power of the MILF. Any new person who leads in the process after an election will have to implement anyway the comprehensive agreement on the Bangsamoro that's been institutionalized. He or she will govern under the same terms of implementing what was discussed, what was agreed upon in the charter of the DBF.
Yeah, but of course, naturally, the MILF has a sense of ownership because they are the ones that negotiated this peace agreement, right? Now, you mentioned that your prediction is that most likely the MILF would still win in 2022 if the elections
push through. I think so, because no other regional governor has assumed office without the mandate of Malacañang. Historically, everyone has. I'll give you an example. Noor Miswari was criticized, actually was joked, for a long time because he applied for the position of governor 1 month before even the final peace agreement was signed. He had filed his candidacy for governor and he went through that process. there was still a transition going on. There was no issue about him, you know. There was no issue for him to be to get the mandate of the people, and that was the agreement then. I cannot see why the MILF thinks that in their particular case that does not hold. That's the real problem. And then a lot of people are saying, well, probably Pancho, because they're afraid that they won't win. Well, lo and behold, that's it, you know. We are in a democratic setting, and I think they should work hard to get the people's vote. But I still think they stand a strong chance of winning that election if they were to run. And they need it, really, to strengthen the sort of legitimacy they need to deal with Sinchagyani, to deal with Sakurtan in Sulu, to show, hey, we are elected by a majority of the Bangsamoro. We have a right to be here in office.
Okay, speaking of Governor Sakurtan, I spoke with him a few days ago. He said that one of the options, Attorney Benny mentioned this, right, the ongoing political dialogue. I think one option that was laid on the table was that the MILF could expect the support from the likes of Governor Sakurtan. But again, there are certain trade-offs, right? So let's talk about the options on the table. Because according to Governor Tan, he was even willing to support the MILF if elections would be held in 2022. But of course, we know that there are a lot of trust issues involved here. Attorney Benny.
Yes, I think based on our consultations now with the local government officials, they're very open. You know, they're politicians, and you know, and I think the bottom line is they really feel that they are not given enough. Okay, what they call it?
Excluded.
Excluded. Yeah. Okay, so that's the term. You know, so because at the end of the day, it's. You know, peace, the formula is really power sharing, power and resource sharing, you know, a principle, power and resource sharing in the Bangsamoro that redounds to the benefit of the constituents. I think, you know, that's the bottom line here. And I think the perception, okay, whether true or not, is that because MILF is an MILF-led transition, And they also dominate the BTA, okay? They're a majority in the BTA. So you see that others feel excluded, especially local government units, no? Leaders. And I think it has to do also with the fact that that the electoral code has not been even, you know, drafted, you know, and that's a source of instability, you know? So because if you don't have the electoral code and you're not transparent about, you know, the drafting of the code and you don't consult, you don't, the people will always have this perception that you're not passing that electoral code because you don't want the elections in 2022.
Do you think, to be blunt about it, do you guys think that they are deliberately delaying the passage of the electoral code?
That's the perception. And you cannot blame those who perceive it that way. So that's why it's important. Because this is institution building. No? So you build political institutions. And one of the two main political institutions are actually the parliament, okay, and the electoral system, okay. So if you look at the political transition, because as I've said, we kind of mix up the transition, the general, you know, transition to the political transition. But actually, the BTA is in charge of a political transition. The political transition has very, very, specific goals, and that is laying down the bureaucracy, laying the political institutions. So if you only have 3 years, you could focus on those, no? So, and that's why when Pancho is saying that, you know, actually 2022, if MILF plays its cards really well, then they actually have the advantage. Look, they have the advantage over the electoral policies, right? So because they'll be the one drafting it, they'll be the one even to do it. Number two is they have the United Bangsamoro Justice Party, you know? So if you're looking at an electoral system that is based on proportional system of proportional representation, because this is parliamentary system, so you actually elect political parties, no? At least more than half are the majority would be proportional representation. So which means that you already have you know, you're actually ahead of all the others, you know. So, and then of course now you're also in the transition. There's this block grant. Then you know, the ingredients are there if you play your cards well. You know, so what I'm saying, are they playing their cards well? Well, that is, you know, subject to different, you know, interpretation and judgment. But the thing is, it's the election that actually provides, you know, instability. Okay. Political instability. That's why, you know, both options now, you have the election, not have the election, they would have political and security risk. And that's why what we've been saying Congress, and that's what I've been saying Congress, look, you know, you have to look beyond just extension, no? Because what is the reasons that are being advanced right now? These are very romantic notion of transition, you know? So there's nothing magic. There's nothing magic about there's nothing magic about transition to say that, you know, after this, then everything would be all right. No.
Yeah.
No. So that's why it's important that you call it unpacking, you know, unpack it, you know, these issues. And really have an address, no? Otherwise, the discourse would still be at the level of motherhood statements and romanticism, right? No, this is already governance. This is politics, okay? And you know, this is a totally, you know, new rules of the game, and that's why everybody has to be on the same page with respect to the rules of the game.
Okay, Pancho, you had this
question,
Professor Lara.
Yeah. You posed an important question, you know. Do you think it's deliberate? I'd put it this way, no. Everyone, you know, has to hold them to account to this schedule for an election. If they are enabled right now by the president, by the other politicians, or worse, by the international development community, which are their number one supporters, who are willing to look the other way, you know, etc. There is not going to be any incentive on their part to work on the real priorities as they're doing right now. No, for example, a while ago, we were in a consultation, Benny and myself, and the complaints we heard there were very direct. No, why are they all focused on the extension and this debate when there are still so many things to do that are part of the so-called transition, including the electoral code? Or in our case, we've been arguing since day one, new land issue. But no one is taking them to account for that. Eh? So there is still no bill on land. There is no law that, you know, will settle the claims of the Tiduray versus the claims of the Maguindanaon. There is no law that will settle, prevent MILF combatants from attacking towns. No? There is no law that will prevent them from taking over all the rebel camps and now owning all the land under them. Yung nangyari 2 days ago sa Basilan is illustrative of that. Ano nangyari? Merong umatake na MILF dahil pumunta ang military sa kanila dahil hindi sila pwedeng pumwesto dun sa lupa. Ang nangyari, nagkabakbakan. Saka nakita ng partner ng gobyerno na nakikipagbakbakan pa sa AFP. Secondly, sabi ng mga tao, bakit ganun? Hindi rin namin maintindihan, rebel organization pa ba sila? Revolutionary organization pa ba sila? O gobyerno na sila? Kasi ang tingin ng aming mga ulama, kasi revolutionary organization, hindi sila dapat pumayag tumakbo sa isang halalan. Eh, teka muna, sabi ko. Ano ba ang pinasok natin dito sa usaping ito? No? Kailangan nilang maintindihan, bahagi yan. They cannot have their cake and eat it too. So they need to be made to account. It's not a question of not having time. Eh. Yun ang ini-issue nila. Naubos ang oras namin, pandemic, etc. What? You had the biggest amount of money in contrast to other governments. You had, you know, time, ample time, 2019 hanggang ngayon, 2022, hindi nyo nga ginagamit ngayon. It's not an issue of time. It's an issue of prioritizing. Eh. Yung sinasabi ni Benny, para manalo kayo, prioritize nyo yung kailangan ninyo, yung, you know, tulak. Yes.
How about competence? At the bottom of things, do you think this is basically an issue of competence?
Yeah, certainly. You know, Christian, no, Benny, yung issue sa democracy is not really the most important. When you look at the stories or studies of legitimacy, it's not the democratic facade that is important. It is showing that each one of the different groups have stakes in the new government. Ang nangyari, hindi ba ang unang-unang ginawa ng MI is to destroy all the patron-client relations by retiring the entire ARM bureaucracy? Ang daming magagaling dyan na mga tao, hindi naman lahat dyan corrupt. Marami dyan mga magaling tao, nangawalan rin ng ano eh. Pero what is worse is, winasak mo yun, which was in the absence of a fully functional democratic system, the only way people can be included is if they had representation through patron-client relations in the bureaucracy. Eh, winasak mo yun. Ano nga yun ay pinalit mo? Saan ka naman nakakita ng bayaw ng ano, ng ni ni kung sino na magiging head ng isang ahensya? Saan ka makita naman ng head ng armado na nagpapatakbo ng pinansya? So it's also a question of competence. Pakita nila na talagang competent rin yung mga taong pinaglalagay nila sa mga positions doon sa loob. Kasi it's a, you're right, no? There are issues about that. I don't want to talk about them. But we've also heard of really interesting cases of rent-seeking behavior that has happened since 2019. And i-lay down yan sa, ano, di ba, they're accusing ano, Mujib Ataman na kailangan ng audit. And then Mujib Ataman countered them. O sige, mag-audit tayo. Audit nyo kami. Audit rin natin yung ano nyo, yung nangyari. So umabot na sa ganun yung usapan dahilan dito. Because precisely of the point that you raised, no? It's not only that. It's also the issue of competence, the ability to deliver. You really need to bring in the experts, those who are capable, those with experience in those key positions. And they cannot exclude others and take that and use that as an absolute domain only of their political group.
Now, if these are all part of the underlying realities in the current Bangsamoro setup, where do you think the region is headed? Because that's quite problematic. Because if you ask the likes of Chairman Murad, he would always say that the filling up of positions at the BTA, for instance, it's always about meritocracy, di ba? Sabi na meron silang online portal, talagang very, kumbaga hindi siya nasusunod in reality.
Yeah. Meron akong, sabihin ko lang banggitin, meron akong kilala, napakagaling ha, dating ano, DILG, etc. at lahat, na for a long period of time, inechapera sila. Ngayon lang sila, after 3 years, binabalikan, dahil na suddenly they're discovering, may itong mga taong pala nakakaalam. Okay. Number two, yung key positions, you're talking about the key positions. Ewan ko kung sino doon ang dumaan sa portal na talagang out of the blue na expert na nakuha. Siguro si Benny would know. Pero ako, ang ko talaga, that's the one of the most critical issues because actually we had even raised that with them, no, at the interim because of the getting to win the vote doon sa BOL noong time na yun.
Christian, I think that's why it's very important to, you know, be clear about the vision and goals, no, and the roadmap, no. So that's why I think because we're mixing up the normalization track and the political track, no. So I think yun ang dapat early on, government, MILF, everybody should be on the same page on the issue of normalization track and the political track. Of course, they are interrelated, no? They are interrelated, but we've always been saying that the normalization track, especially decommissioning, okay, has a different basis. And that's the CAB, no, Comprehensive Agreement of the Bangsamoro.
And the Bangsamoro.
So that's why that is really, so if you want to be, sabihin natin, exclusive, that's really exclusive, ano, between the MI and government, but not for the governments and the political transition.
Pero Attorney Benny,
CAB yan, this is already the BOL.
That's true. Pero Attorney Benny, it's the MILF itself that is actually not making the distinction, di ba? When they when they said that they should be extended, the BTA, sila mismo nagsabi na ano eh, they don't have enough time to complete the normalization process. Kaya I understand the position of ano, Professor Lara. Parang kailan to hihinto, di ba?
No, that's why, for me, I would understand that would be the position of the MI. But I don't understand why the national government accepts that.
And the international development agencies.
Yes, precisely. They're, and all the others also. That's why our fear, yes. Okay, this has always been our fear, is because we are not managing expectations. Because if we mix this both, wala talaga tayong victories dito, even how small victories are. That's why what we've been saying all along is, no, you need to be very clear about the political transition. Okay, kapag nag-political transition ka, okay, nalagay mo, meron kang strong institutions, parliament, you have the elections, that's the peace dividend of the political track. Okay, so, di ba, yun ang pinaka-importante doon. Kasi Christian, it is not the BTA that is the sabi nga natin, that is not the platform for self-determination. Kasi appointed lang yan eh. Supposedly just to lay down all this. Ano, in fact, pag may regular parliament can undo all that the BTA has done anyway, right? But ang importante dito is yung parliament mo, because that is already, the parliament is really the platform for self-determination. So what you're saying there is, if you don't have the parliament after 3 years, then you're actually moving pa. Okay, sabihin natin. So where's yung ang ano mo dyan is yung where's the peace dividend of the political track? Of course, if you look at peace dividends, everybody would have some different ideas of what peace dividends are, no? So si Chairman Murad in the last hearing, ako I would understand it. He had a long list of things that still have to be done. And I said, my God, you know, if we are going to do all these things, if that would be our milestones, nakukulang pati yung up to 2025, ano? So, okay, kasi governance na yan eh. Ang pinag-usapan kasing governance, that's already bottomless pit. Normalization is also a bottomless pit. Yan ang sinasabi mo doon. Kaya dapat very clear yung magpa-prioritize ka sa 3 years. Or kung mag-extension man, sige, ano
well defined
pwedeng gawin?
Okay. I have a question for Professor Lara. Kasi your assessment earlier was very blunt, di ba? Parang sabi nyo nga, parang deliberate ruse yung ginagawa ng MILF. Pero over the past 3 years or so, what do you think the MILF as leaders of the BTA have to show? At saka, are we actually headed to the right direction? At number three, for instance, are they better off now than compared to during the time of the ARM? At saka, related question dyan kasi, baka naman lahat to part lang ng birth pangs. I mean, you have to understand that everyone suggested.
Yeah. 2 points lang. Una, nangako sila at maliwanag yun ng numero unong prioridad. First priority should be really acting on resource, land, fundamental property rights issues. Alam naman natin, the entire literature on institutional reform, property rights is central to that. That should have been a priority. Number two, sinabi ni Benny, the electoral code should have been a priority. Number three, the revenue code should have been a priority. Okay, so you're talking about revenues, you're talking about election, and then you're talking about property rights. Those are the three. No property rights legislation has come out. Neither has the revenue aspect of the law been accomplished, and neither has the electoral code. So what has happened in the past 3 years? Okay, administrative code, et cetera, at lahat. Okay, yun ang mga tinrabaho nila. Did they do even well? Did they fare well in terms of the explosion of RIDO? Hindi sila masyado. Did they fare well even in dealing with the pandemic? Neither were they, et cetera. Sabi nga kanina, ang report nila, nag-set aside kami ng budget. Hello? So ano ngayon kung nag-set aside kayo ng budget? Ang question dyan, meron ba kayo na-deliver as a result of that? So yun yung frustrations namin sa BTA, no? At sa kanilang pamumuno. Kasi hindi naman nagkulang ang mga tao na tumulong sa kanila para ipasa ang BOL na ipinaglaban itong BBL panahon pa. Na ngayon, tinetreten nila na kapag kayo ay hindi sumuporta sa extension, kayo ay kalaban ng peace process. Ganun na yung red tagging sa amin. Kasi we're supposed to be now enemies of the peace process. Lo and behold, suddenly, these people have forgotten ata the role that a lot of us have played in, you know, pushing, bro, height of a Masapano incident, pushing Congress to legislate a BBL, to legislate a BOL, doing political mapping, etc. And then working on the ground because they want, and yung nga sinasabi ni Benny, I'm so afraid in 2025 with that kind of a, you know, measure of success, they're going to ask for another extension. Why? In the IRA case na lang yung Irish Republican Army with the number of, it took 10 years, di ba? Ang milestone nila, 10 years before the last weapon was decommissioned. And the number of IRA paramilitaries did not go beyond 3,000 to 4,000 people.
Ito, 40,000.
Ay, naku, Sus Maria Josep. Eh di, hanggat hindi matapos yun eh, hindi sila dapat matanggal sa posisyon. Yun ang implikasyon eh. Nitong sinasabi nito.
Yeah. We're almost at the tail end of our podcast, pero I'd like to ask an attorney, Benny. I remember your group was involved in the training of the various groups in the Bangsamoro, right? In terms of party building and other aspects of governance. Are you actually seeing that, or you're getting frustrated that all the training sessions that you conducted before are not bearing fruit still?
We cannot afford to be frustrated, Christian. No?
Hindi naman isasa. Hindi naman isasalang yung partido mo, Benny. Hindi gagamitin.
Any education program naman, okay? Hindi naman yan short term. Hindi naman short term yan. No? Yun nga lang, eh, kasi ang daming, ano, eh, ang daming gustong, ano, ang daming, and this is good that many want to organize political parties because this is a parliamentary system, multi-party system.
Correct.
It's just that because of the absence of rules, hindi mo alam kung how you will register, what are the criteria. Kaya nga sabi ko, that's very critical sana in the transition. Day one pa lang, eh talagang you have to focus na on the election kasi that's really the source of conflicts, di ba, yung political. So having, you know, kaya nga sa akin very important yung sharpen talaga yung sabihin mo and sabihin natin yung talagang objectives of the political transition and the strategy and the roadmap, no? Kasi magkakagulo-gulo talaga, no, in terms of expectations dito. In the end, sasabihin ko kaya nga, 'di ba? Yung kasi yung feeling talaga of being excluded. Okay, that's a big problem at the moment, no? Precisely because the way that this is designed, okay, we might call it that talagang ganun eh, no? At the so people have accepted sige 3 years na ganun. Ang alam mo fear ko pa dito pag nagkaroon ng extension, we don't even know what the new president's game plan is, no? So kasi no. Alam mo sa BOL, hindi naman maliwanag talaga na majority ang MILF. No, in the
DTA. That was an accommodation by President Duterte.
Oo, ang alam lang, MILF-led. So, of course, you can sabihin mo, MILF-led, di kami majority, not necessarily. So, pwede ikaw lang yung chief minister or interim chief minister kasi Congress has removed that ano eh, that word membership. Eh. So, if you're gonna extend this and then this new president now would have a different interpretation, then problema na naman tayo. No? Kaya sa akin talaga, okay, the ideal is, you know, come up with a consensus now on leadership and transition beyond 2022, okay, with knowing fully well that the MILF must continue to be engaged in the process of peace process and governance. Kaya nga dito, very key yung role ni Presidente dito. No? Kasi whether you like it or not, eh talagang siya naman ang pwedeng mag-referee niyan. Ano? So Congress and the Senate have started doing that, ano? Yung mga pag-uusap. Yun nga lang ang problema, MILF now is on the defensive. Ano? Kung sana ginawa yan beforehand.
Gusto ko lang sabihin na.
Oo, hindi. What I'm saying here is that pwede mo namang ikaw ang magdala niyan eh, no? Kasi meron kang Council of Elders, di ba? Yung Council of Elders supposedly composed of all these local government officials also with the BARM. So that would have been the platform where all these things can be discussed. Yeah. But anyway, hindi nagawa yun.
Sige. Okay, parting words from Professor Lara.
Gusto ko lang pumasok saglit, ha? Patunayan nila sa amin na hindi to ruse at hindi to deliberate. Pakita nila sa amin na noon pa lang simula nito, nakita na nila yung kahalagahan nitong election na ito. Kung pakita nila sa amin kung pinaghanda nila yung electoral code, kasi isa yung sa napakahalagang panukat yun eh, ng kung talaga or whether they went into this at the outset knowing that they will argue for an extension even as early as before. Number two, ang kaligayahan siguro namin at ang satisfaction namin is nabuksan ito sa wider discussion. Kasi dapat ito ilulusot na lang ito eh. kasunduan na lang, sila-sila na lang, pag-uusapan with the president, etc. The most dangerous thing, I think, for the MI is that their legitimacy rests on the president, current president, and a bunch of international and domestic development, financial, and different, ano, who are enabling their presence in office, no? But they are not getting the sort of legitimacy that they get from the Bangsamoro people. Hanggat ganyan yung situation, mananatili yung ganitong klase ng weaknesses sa governance. Masaya kami sa alert na kung ano man mangyari, magkaroon man sila ng bargaining, magkaroon man sila ng ano, kasunduan, etc. Sabihin na natin, tumiklop yung elites, tumiklop yung mga gobernador at pumayag sila. The point is, nabuksan ito at yung sinasabi ni Benny, mangyayari, magkakaroon ng siguro kaunting power sharing as a result of this. Hindi na siguro magiging that exclusionary yung situation. Pero tumitindi kami sa posisyon that the sooner there is an election, the better for them as well, for the MILF, for the BTA as well. And we are confident that if they were to prepare now, you know, that they would really win a regional election in 2022. And then they get the best sort of engagement and legitimacy from the public.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us on this podcast. Always a pleasure talking with Attorney Benny Bacani and Professor Pancho Lara. Yeah. It was a very engaging discussion. Medyo mainit si ano, si Professor Lara. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Ito lang pagkakataon
sa podcast. Lumabas yung frustration eh. No? Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Don't forget that this podcast is also available on YouTube, and you can also catch this on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. Until next week, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.